Alleluia, Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Is a lamp brought in to be placed under a bushel basket or under a bed, and not placed on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden except to be made visible. Nothing is secret except to come to light. Anyone who has ears to hear ought to hear." He also told them, "Take care what you hear. The measure with which you measure will be measured out to you, and still more will be given to you. To the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
This fourth chapter of St. Mark's Gospel, Jesus speaks to us about faith, and specifically the way that we're supposed to live it. Yesterday, the four of us who were able to show up focused on the parable of the sower and the seed, and how the Lord wants to give us the grace of good soil to receive the seed of His Word. But good soil is first heard, that there's an active listening, then there's a reception, that we're going out to accept it, and then it overflows, 30, 60, or 100-fold fruit. Jesus builds on that image of fruit-bearing, that our faith is supposed to be consequential in today's gospel. He says two things about it. First, it's supposed to be seen, and second, it's supposed to grow. And when we live by faith, it will grow. First, it's supposed to be seen. He describes faith in a sense as our being ignited with His own light, and that light is supposed to illumine the world. Is a lamp brought in and placed under a bushel basket or under a bed, the Lord asks? Isn't it placed on a lampstand? Nothing's hidden except to be made visible, nothing secret except to come to light. That seed of faith that He plants in us in a secret, imperceptible way isn't supposed to remain secret and imperceptible. It's supposed to grow, and it's supposed to radiate not our light, but Christ's light. In a similar passage in St. Matthew's Gospel, at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus describes that our light, His light in us, He who is the light of the world, makes us reflect that light, so that we're the light of the world. That light is supposed to shine before all, so that others, in seeing our good deeds, the deeds that flow from faith, may give glory to our Father in heaven. You know, sometimes people don't want to be in a position of prominence, don't want to be out there in front of everybody else, because out of humility, they want to keep certain things quiet. They don't want to be the center of attention. Good enough. But we don't allow our deeds to shine to draw attention to us. We allow our deeds to shine precisely in order to draw attention to the Lord, so that others, in seeing the good deeds, the light that shines from our faith, may give glory not to us, but to God. So that's the first thing. If we're bearing 30, 60, or 100-fold fruit, it'll be visible, and it'll show a path to others, leading them out of darkness. The second aspect of living our faith that Jesus highlights today is it's supposed to grow. When we're living by faith, it will grow. Jesus says, "Take care what you hear." Pay attention, in other words. "The measure with which you measure will be measured out to you, and still more will be given. To the one who has, more will be given, but from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." That is an obvious truth in human life. An athlete who exercises every day, his muscles will remain firm and even grow. To the ex-athlete who never exercises anymore, even his bulging biceps will become soft. To the student who continues to study, they'll retain that knowledge and they'll grow. To the student who fails to study, even what they once learned, they'll forget. To the musician who practices, the skills will grow. to the musician who doesn't practice for a couple years. They won't even be able to play scales and arpeggios. It's a tried and true rule of life. But it also applies to the faith. When we live by faith, that great gift will grow. But when we cease to live by faith and we live as everybody else does, even the faith we have will slowly dissipate. And so Jesus is encouraging us precisely to live by faith so that that faith might always grow. Today in the first reading from the letter to the Hebrews, we see the larger consequences of Jesus' teaching in the life of the church and in the whole way we're supposed to live together. The author of the letter to the Hebrews talks about the way we're supposed to grow in faith, hope, and charity. First, faith. After we've heard in these first 10 chapters all that Jesus, the eternal high priest, has done for us, we're encouraged. Let us approach with a sincere heart and an absolute trust, in an unwavering faith, with a sincere heart, not faking it. Not faking it on the outside or not faking it on the inside, with a sincere heart and an absolute faith in the Lord. With our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, our bodies washed in pure water, we can see exactly what's happening through that sacramental life, which is meant to help us to live by faith. The water of baptism, the sprinkling of Jesus' blood in the sacrament of confession. Let us hold unwaveringly to our confession. That gives us hope. Our faith leads to hope. To hold to it without vacillating. Because that's the way it will grow. And especially in those times when our faith might be challenged, that's the time to hold on all the more. Unwaveringly. Because it does give us hope. For he who made the promise is trustworthy. And when we hope in this way, our hope will grow. And then third, we must consider how to rouse one another to love and good works. Our faith is supposed to lead to faith working through love, as St. Paul would say in Galatians. And our charity, flowing from our faith, is meant not just to help us grow in that capacity for charity, but to help others grow in that capacity for charity. Good deeds are contagious. When someone sees someone doing the right thing for another, others are spurred on the inside to do the same. But let me ask you, do you consider, do you think about, do you pray about how to rouse others to love and good works? It's not just that our deeds should be copied by others, but the Holy Spirit, through the author of the Hebrews, is telling us to consider how precisely to inspire others, to incite others, to arouse them to these same works that flow from faith. A lot of the times we concern ourselves just with ourselves, and as long as our relationship is fine with the Lord, that's okay. But remember, our faith is supposed to be light for others, and we need some of the times to laser beam that light in particular ways, so that those who are living in partial darkness will be able to see that light. We need to consider how to arouse not just everyone, but individual people to love and good works. The more we do that, the more our own faith, hope, and charity will grow. And then there's a specific application. We should not stay away from our assembly, as is the custom of some, but encourage one another. And it's all the more as you see the day drawing near. In Massachusetts, 83% of Catholics miss Mass on Sunday. They stay away from our sacred assembly, our sacred calling. Ecclesia, in Greek, means all those who have been called together. It is this assembly. We need to consider how to rouse them to love God and to do this most important work of all. We must consider how to get people back to Mass. We must consider how to make that invitation. We must, as the author says, encourage one another. In this all the more as you see the day drawing near. Every single person who's not coming to Mass is one day nearer to death. That day is drawing nearer, and for some it might come today or tomorrow. They don't have all the time in the world left. And if we're really going to love them, we don't have all the time in the world left to think about how we're going to ask them. We can't wait till we see them at Christmas this year to consider how to arouse them and encourage them to come back to be with us in the assembly. One of the most important ways we grow in faith is that we grow in faith with others. The life of faith is a life that's a pilgrimage. And when people are dropping by the wayside, we, if we really care for the Lord and care for others, are going to go to arouse them, get them up, and encourage them to join us on that pilgrimage to the heavenly Jerusalem, to the temple, to the Holy of Holies that Jesus has pierced. Our faith to grow must be visible. We must never be ashamed of it. We must want it to overflow, not to draw our attention to ourselves, but to God and to the great things that He has done in us and for us out of love. And then it must be exercised, must be put into practice. And the greatest way we receive the strength to live by faith, to live with that light, and to have those inner spiritual muscles, those virtues of faith, hope, and love grow, is here at Mass. The beginning of the reading today, it talks about heaven, but there's a clear application here to what we do each morning. Since through the blood of Christ we have confidence to enter into the sanctuary, by the new and living way He opened us through the veil that is His flesh, since we have a great priest over the house of God, then let us approach with sincere heart and in absolute trust. Let us approach unwaveringly with our confession that gives us hope, and rouse one another to love and good works. In the Old Covenant, no one except the high priest, and only once a year in the Day of Atonement, could go through the veil into the Holy of Holies and sprinkle the blood of the sacrifices there within. But Christ, our eternal high priest, has entered into that Holy of Holies, and He wants us to enter, and we do so by entering into His flesh. It's here at Mass that we enter into the Holy of Holies of heaven. And when we have that confidence in Him, is there anything that should intimidate us? Anything that should stop us from living our faith with life and having it grow? At the beginning of this Mass, we prayed for something very important, which summarizes the Gospel. We turn to our Almighty and Living God. We ask Him to direct all our actions according to His pleasure, that in the name of His beloved Son, we may abound in good works, 30, 60, 100-fold and more. Let us enter with Jesus into the holiest of holies and ask Him to give us that grace for which we began this Mass, for which we prayed at the beginning of this Mass. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.